Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our discussion of the running backs in this year's draft class, counting down the top 10 with my friend Josh Reed. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. Ready to get back in this thing again for another round.
All right. Outstanding. If you didn't download the first episode, make sure you do that now. Go grab the guys from 10 to 5. There's a lot of back and forth about this. Josh is very good eye for draft talent, and it's been a lot of fun having this discussion with him. A lot of guys different in our 5 through 10, although most were honorable mentions on the other person's list, and that's okay. We're only talking about the top four right now, and we're going to start it off with Josh's number four guy.
And my number four guy is Devon Achane from Texas A from. Yeah, right. Texas A&M, right? Yeah,
Texas A&M.
Yep. You know, 21 years old. I mean, the dude is explosive. I don't know if you watch the Amazon show, The Boys. Do you watch that at all? You have Amazon subscription. But anyways, there's this guy, a character on the show. It's kind of like a dark superhero universe kind of thing. But his name is Achane. And he's like, his power is super speed. And I remember when Devon Achane ran his 40 at the combine, I was like, man, this is too perfect. This guy reminds me of Achane, the way he's like, I think he ran like a 4.32 or something like that.
4.32, yeah.
Yeah, just explosive. It has runs with an impressive power and contact, you know, balance after contact for somebody his size. It's only like 5'8". And, you know, he's the cool thing about some of those 5'8 guys sometimes is the fact that they run so low to the ground, you know, it kind of gives them more power, and it's harder for defenders to get a good shot on them, because especially if they already have that low center of gravity in addition to their stature. But he's a guy that, you know, regularly makes the first defender miss, if not the first two defenders miss, whether that's, you know, at the line of scrimmage, you know, or in an open space in the second, third level of defense. You know, he's a tough cover out of the backfield on wheel routes and swings. Doesn't have a huge route tree, but, you know, he's a kind of guy that he'll burn the linebacker on an angle route real quick.
Yeah, there is definitely a lot to like about who he is, and he also happens to be my number four guy. 5'9", 188, you mentioned the 4.32, 40. One of the problems for him, I think, in the NFL is going to be his very small hands at 8.5 inches. He'll turn 22 in October, that's all fine. Legitimate track star speed, so that 4.32, it's not some sort of a mirage, because he ran 10.14 in the 100 meters. That's amazing. I mean, 10.14 would win most track meets, certainly at the high school or even many college levels, regional kind of levels, if it was run in the 100 yards. But this is in 100 meters, so absurd fast track time. Works through contact very well. Low center of gravity, you mentioned that, 3.6 yards after contact per attempt. He was most successful beating pursuit Y, and boy, would that fit a read option scheme out of sidecar. So I really like that. Got to master the mesh point. But the tape looks good with the sidecar and extended mesh points that he had at Texas A&M. So at least that's something that I think would put him higher on the Ravens list. So I liked him for that. He really plays to elude contact in level two. That can slow him down a little bit. What I mean by that is he tends to dance before the contact gets there. So other teams had some success putting bodies around him and kind of entrapping him without coming up to try and make a tackle directly. He out-jukes himself, is what I would say. So great runner, you know, has a lot of things, but that's something he can not waste steps, or he can wait to read and wiggle in terms of leverage until a later point. So I think once he gets that timing down, he's going to be an even more dynamic runner. I think that'll improve. He can't pass block at all, and that's going to be a problem in terms of getting pass down opportunities. So he might end up being a two down back. He's primarily a check down and screen guy anyway. 7.1 yards per target and 1.0 of ADOT. So we've been through this with a number of the other runners. If you heard the first show, you know that there aren't many guys that are much higher than about 1.5 ADOT among the running back group, with Deuce Vaughn, the guy that really stands out at 3.9. The fumbles are going to be a problem, I would project. And he has fumbled. How many times has he fumbled so far in college? Because my note was that it had not really shown up yet as much as it should. I don't have it in front of me here. Okay. Anyway, here's the point I'm going to make. For fumbles, I look at corroborating factors here, or contributing factors, and he's got several. He's a smaller guy. He's a big second effort guy. And he's a small hands guy. And that is a really bad triple negative biorhythm there. If you remember a player from the 1970s, and you know, I know this is before your time, Josh, but Terry Metcalf was an unbelievable all-purpose back for the Cardinals, one of the worst fumblers of all time. And he had some of these characteristics all put together. I would be concerned that this guy is such a great playmaker if fumbles start to be a problem that could really derail his career. But speed definitely fits with the Ravens in terms of the sidecar threat, and that's nice.
Yeah. My notes here, I have the, you know, thing on the speed thing. He's a guy that won't get beat to the pylon at like almost never, especially on pitch plays and stretch plays. He's a guy that'll beat just about anybody to that corner there. And like he can stop on a dime. And but the thing about that is that he's always trying to set somebody up. And what that allows sometimes for defenders to what my coach used to call break the cage. You know, when you have a guy that you know wants to cut back a lot or use a lot of moves or try to do, like you create a, if you get enough bodies around him, whenever he tries to find that cutback lane that tries to, you know, stop on a dime in open field, you're gonna have a teammate on either side of him. So like he does have a tendency to sometimes help aid the defenders in creating that cage for himself. But he's a guy that can definitely run out of it if they don't get there fast enough.
You know, one of the things in coaching that out, I think, is he may have a top speed that he's really maneuverable at, but the thing that makes Lamar an unbelievable runner is, first of all, he reads leverage like almost no athlete in the history of sports. Okay, reads it and wiggles to it. And A-Chain could probably at least handle the wiggle element, even if he's never going to be the reader Lamar is. But what would be good is if he could reduce the need to be at top speed, so he's not feeling the need to wiggle early. And that's probably a difficult thing for a track star to master, is I'd like to run in third gear here. You know, it might very well be not natural for him. So we'll see how he evolves as a back at the NFL level. I'm sure he's going to be a home run hitter from time to time, and that may or may not lead to fairly consistent yards per carry, or it may lead to a very low workload where the guy's a very disappointing career at some point. So we'll see. But anyway, my number four guy also is A-Chain. So we're in the same spot on that one.
Yeah, I think he'd have a promising career as a returner as well. He can return a couple of kicks for I think like more than one. I know at least one he returned a kick return for a touchdown in college. So he's a guy that, except you know, if Duvernay moves on, if Ravens move on from him, another guy who could possibly be your next I wouldn't say Pro Bowl returner, but starting returner.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they ask him to do that. He's actually never returned a punt in college. He's returned a lot of kickoffs, 20 kickoffs. Yeah. But that wouldn't surprise me. It also never surprises me that some of these top running backs wouldn't be used to return punts just because of the danger involved. And so a lot of programs, they just don't want to take that risk. So, you know, it's kind of like figuring out who the good Sams are when they're all good pass rushers at the college level. It's very difficult. You're number three guy.
All right, I think this is the moment of truth for us, Ken. I know we're talking pre-show about who we may or may not have. I feel like my guy probably won't be on your list because of some of his injury history. But I like Tyjae Spears out of Tulane. He's a guy that is just so explosive. I mean even like that. Even aside from the USC game, which if anybody watched USC football, they weren't playing much defense this past year. So even without that game, the guy was tearing it up this year. He has a nose for the end zone. When he gets down there, runs with patience and power, good leg drive, especially at the goal line. He tied with the Bataconda for the most touchdowns from scrimmage this past year with 21. He could be weaponed out of the backfield. He has nice hands, but they need to be more consistent. He has a chance to try to look up field for the next move instead of just securing a catch first. Didn't run a 40 at the combine, but posted between a 4.47 and 4.49 at his pro day. So that's decent. But he did show that he can turn on the afterburners in college. Has a bit of injury history with some ACLs, but he's a guy that runs hard between the tackles and can kind of weave through the defense with cuts and other elusive moves, and real kind of slippery with the way he sheds off tackles at times.
I liked him a lot. I did put him on my honorable mention list. There were a couple things that hit me back in the injury history. It was one of them, but he's 13th on my list. So I don't think we mentioned the number 12 guy, so we'll do that at the end of the show here. But with Spears, couple things. Outstanding yards after contact per attempt of 455. It was one of the highest in the class. I don't know who was higher, but he's a fairly average missed tackle force rate. And this is another case of a guy who's extremely explosive and hit some home runs after contact. So if you want to see those beast mode runs, he's probably not the guy to throw a beast mode run at you, but he's a guy to break a tackle and then go the distance. 475 career touches. That's nice because of the light tread wear. It's bad because he only got 475 touches because of the injuries. 8.9 yards per target on 48 career catches and 62 total targets. That's really nice, and it is all done with a negative ADOT. So it's a lot of screens, a lot of checkdowns in that percentage. So if, for instance, in 2022, negative 0.2 career, negative 0.8 in 2022 with 12.7 yak per reception. So that gives you an idea of how his yards are broken out. But he usually catches the ball behind the line of scrimmage, outmaneuvers a linebacker, goes upfield for a nice gain. He has been an okay pass blocker at the college level. So along with the injuries, this is probably my second biggest thing about him, is that he probably is going to have trouble getting on the field as a pass catcher because he's not a particularly good pass blocker. So that really becomes more important. Of course, one of the things I really wanted to look at, I just didn't have time to really go through a lot of games to figure it out, is to see how many of his pass blocking attempts are just chip blocks. And so are they a case where he's really going out for a pass anyway and he didn't get much done on the chip? And that can be bad, but it also can be a case where they kind of fake the chip and it's really a planned pattern the whole time. So I'd really like to break that down a little further. But his overall pass blocking grade from PFF is not particularly good. And there's nothing I saw on tape that says, yeah, this guy really lays into the rib section of an edge rusher well to make him feel bad. I mean, it's just he's just okay. That's all I can say. So anyway, I could not find him on my list. I did have him probably down at 8, at 9, at 10, and eventually he dropped to number 13 for me overall as I was maneuvering people around. And I could understand if Sean Tucker was not on somebody's list. I think you should. He was an honorable mention. Or McBride, for example. Spears has some of the same different set of issues, but some overlapping issues with those players. So anyway, I understand. I think he's a good player. I'd be happy if the Ravens ended up getting him, but I'd like them to spend no more than a sixth round draft pick on him. That would be my price.
Yeah, he's just, I think he'd be a really good change of pace back for the Ravens, and a good slasher, and a guy that can, like I said, may not be the most elusive guy, but a guy that can definitely, you know, eliminate some ankles and really break off some long runs. So that's why I had him in the slasher category. You know, you get your bruisers and your slashers. He's definitely a slasher with, you know, some bruising tendencies.
Yeah. Definitely more elusive in contact balance, you know, in terms of how he gets away after those missed tackles. But yeah, well, good player. Now we got my surprise at number three. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's Kendre Miller of TCU. I'm sure you're going to say this is way too high for this guy, but I just absolutely fell in love with this guy. One of the things you said about him, this is one of the things I really loved about him. So let's talk basic physically. He's exactly what you wanted back at 5'11", 215. Born 6'11", 02, so he's one of the youngest players in the draft. He's about 4 months older than the youngest back, but he won't be 21 until after the draft. So I think this is fair to project a lot forward on this guy. Supposedly he ran a 4.58, and I will say, watch Kendre Miller play. There is no freaking way that guy is a 4.58 athlete. He looks more like 4.45 to me. Looks like way too high. And if you specifically look at two runs, look at edge runs. And how he runs away, and the runaway speed, just he's much faster than that. And I'm not getting it. I don't know what happened in terms of that 4.58, but it obviously wasn't a good run. He cost himself some money, no doubt, from that. He has only 390 touches in 3 years, very light tread wear, which is nice. Has not done a lot of receiving with 29 catches and 6.2 yards per target for his career. I don't see any reason why he can't be a factor given his other characteristics. Got good size and I think he could be more than that. One thing he seemed to benefit from at TCU, which really made him attractive to me, and this is a for the Ravens kind of valuation, is that Duggan did a very good job of selling fakes after the mesh point was completed. And this is always something I've kind of wondered about Lamar. Lamar doesn't do too much running without the football after the mesh point is disengaged and the runner still has it. And that would be something that I'm getting a little bit of feedback from you, Josh. I'm not sure where it's coming from, but sorry about that. Anyway, I like seeing that. And I thought, you know, that's potentially very translatable. Leaves a leg very well in level two and level three. And older fans will associate that with Jim Brown as being a power back. You hit him and you just kind of fell out over him because he used a leaving a leg technique. Some people call it a dead leg technique to allow that guy to have really nothing that he's holding onto of any substance. And Kendre Miller was exceptionally good at that. He does a lot of his maneuvering in third down, and then his fourth gear is really exceptional. And that's why I just don't believe the speed thing. All of his touchdowns, he's running away from the defenders. I didn't actually catch the hamstring you're talking about. I saw a lot of guys falling behind him when they're trying to catch up to him. And a 4.58 guy, that would not happen. In fact, the 4.5 guys, that typically doesn't happen with your defensive backs not being able to catch up and make up ground. So I was really exceptionally happy with that. Ability to bounce outside was something that he was able to do, but he hasn't had a ton of success at. He is a guy I would really pick more as an overseeker of the edge. We haven't had really one of that come up, but Collins, when he played here, was a guy who just always wanted to bounce to the outside furthest possible gap, was not good about taking an earlier cutback opportunity. In fact, would often end up losing yardage. We've had plenty of backs in NFL history you can think of who just were too overstretchers or over bouncers to the outside. But I think he's a very intriguing option for the Ravens. And if they were going to reach for a running back, I'd say in round four, they could probably have Kendre Miller. And I'd be thrilled with that pick if it were to happen.
Yeah, I just feel like the people in the media are much higher on him than I am, and possibly even you are, because I actually didn't project it to go as high as late second and as late as the late third. So I feel like, you know, if a guy that if the Ravens were to target him, he'd probably have to be at 86, because I just don't think he'll be around in the fourth round. He's a guy that TCU really missed when he wasn't present in that national championship game. Mm-hmm. You know, because like they felt like they really missed that. I mean, because, you know, Quentin Johnson was, you know, it's one thing that one breakaway, you know, spread kind of guy on your team. But when you can have two, one in the backfield and one as a receiving threat, it really makes your offense one like multidimensional. And without him in that game, I feel like, you know, it would stop Johnson and Duggan really couldn't do much after that.
I think you're probably right about generalized valuations of him. First of all, I think people see right through that 458 after watching tape of him because no way. There's just no way. And the other thing is that the only other backs that obviously might go ahead of him, other than the top two who we're going to talk about, are Achane and Charbonnet. And those are the guys who Achane, they're going to fall in love with the speed. My hope is that they'll look at 458 and there'll be a good percentage of the teams that do need a running back that will be too concerned about the 458 to draft him. But otherwise, I don't see why anybody else wouldn't do it. I mean, the guy is a really serious speed threat who does a lot of things well on a football field. So anyway, I obviously like him a lot more than other people and more than you.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so who'd you have at you? We already talked about your number three guy, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so your number two guy.
I'm pretty sure we got the same one.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
One and two. So my number two is Gibbs for me. Jamari Gibbs from Alabama. Was a guy transferred over from I think it was Georgia Tech, and really kind of carved out a nice role for himself in the Alabama offense. And really, it's the do it all kind of back. You know, I wrote for Pro Comp for him. It was Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey. You know, it's one mm-hmm. of the he's one of the slipperiest runners in the entire draft, especially once he gets into space, the second or third level. You know, he's the kind of guy that put the moves on you and run away from you. And he's a one cut, get up the field kind of runner with great spatial awareness. I mean, sometimes it's like he has eyes in the back of his head, the way he's able to elude defenders in an open field, kind of just, thought you had me. Gotta be quicker than that. I feel like he's the second best every down back, behind only are probably going to be our number one guy. I think he'd be a great schematic fit for Monken's offense, as far as the division of Monken's offense, as far as, you know, being able to operate the space, ran a 4.36 at the combine. And that speed shows on tape too, with several of his long runs and his scoring runs. So he's a guy that, you know, a lot of people view him as a fringe first rounder, but definitely second round pick. If the Ravens were to be interested in him, it'd have to be either in a trade back scenario, because I think 22 is way too rich. I don't want to draft a running back at all in the first round.
Of course, not.
Way too many other needs than running back. A running back in the first round is like a luxury pick. You know, if you get two first round picks and you got like the Eagles have, like if the Eagles wanted to take either one of these dudes, probably the our number one guy. If they want to take them, take him at, you know, one of their two first round picks, then by all means, especially at 30? Yeah, 30, because it's only 31 picks. So, yeah. But he wouldn't be a guy I'd target in the first round, even though he's definitely, and like, you know, 15 years ago, probably would have been even 10 years ago, would have been a first round talent. But given the evaluation of the position, it's just, he's a second round guy all day for me.
Yeah, I would agree completely with that. He's one of the younger backs again in the class, 320-02, so still just 21 years old. His game is really all about speed, but he's a little bit unusual in that he gets going right ahead. And a part of it, I have to wonder about context in Alabama, but you know, it's in SEC games he's doing this. He just gets quickly into level two, and then he's a handful to try and figure him out at that point. So he's 9 yards per carry in the A gap, which is most of that came on zone plays. So a lot of that is cutback yardage, but still is very impressive that he could do that. His receiving skills are towards the top of the class. So he's very sure hands, 9.9 yards per target. Now I mentioned that 10 yards per target is like a holy grail, particularly for the Ravens who've only had four guys ever make it there for a full season. This is something that he won't repeat that in the NFL, but he could still be a dangerous guy. And it's, again, it's mostly yak with a low A dot, but still it's impressive. One of the problems is that he's a terrible pass blocker, just absolutely awful. He was at his worst this last year, had a lot of really bad opportunities at it. They used him less at Alabama as a pass blocker than they had at Georgia Tech, where he'd been not good, but not as bad. And so things did not go as well. And maybe some of that is playing in the SEC, but hey, he's about to play in a league where the game is a lot faster and he's going to have to do some of this on his own. So if he's going to be on the field on passing downs, he needs to get better there. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can see that reflected in his playing time too. If you look at the game logs, one week we'll have 9 carries, 93 yards, then 9 carries for 22 yards, then 4 carries for 36 yards because for Nick Saban, he's from that Belichickian tree, man. If you can't protect the quarterback, you're not going to be on the field as consistently. I don't care how good you can run the ball, you can catch the ball. If you don't keep, well, back then it was 12, but Mac Jones wears 10 now. If you can't keep 10 safe or whatever your quarterback is safe, on passing downs, then you're not going to be at every down back. So that's definitely I'd probably say the weakest area of his game. But the rest of his strengths are just so overwhelmingly positive to where it's like I could see teams saying we'll fix your pass protection, but everything else it's kind of ready made off the assembly line, put him insert here and he's ready to go.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and most of the things you said about the draft valuation of him. I mean, I do like the fact he only has 486 college touches. That's a nice limited tread wear. It's a new set of tires. But what I think is not going to work is they have too many competing needs for that total amount of draft capital. No matter how much you want to play draft day, that's just not the way it works. The movie I'm talking about. The Ravens are going to trade down from number one. That's a real distinct possibility. They'll get one pick in round two and maybe one pick in round three. But if you go to just even the most optimistic way they could trade that would be for the full JJ value probably. And if they did that, I mean, you could play around with it, play around with what team could they draft it. And you're going to be disappointed with what they might get. They could trade it for three picks and say, a second and two fourths kind of thing, or right at the beginning of the second, maybe in a couple fourths for some team that wanted to do it. But it's not going to be some huge haul of picks that they get in exchange for trading down. It's not going to provide them an opportunity to draft round two players just because they trade their number 22 picks. That I don't know if there's a single team that makes sense for in the entire draft.
I feel like the only way the Ravens could recoup a second round pick is in a trade back scenario to where it feels like for a quarterback like a Hendon Hooker, because Ravens traded back into the first round, but they traded two first round picks in two separate years, in order to get back to take Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
But if a team like say like the Ravens right in front of the Vikings, if say a team like the Saints who are picking at 29, if they wanted to leapfrog the Vikings, because everybody knows the Vikings are interested in Hendon Hooker, and this is the guy who's been picking up a lot of steam for that towards the end of this draft cycle here, and the Ravens are in a prime position. If somebody wants to get in front of Minnesota, I could see a team like the Saints who have been like really ultra aggressive as far as like targeting guys that they want, whether it's Marcus Davenport or Peyton Turner or it was like Trevor Penning last year, or even Chris Olave. When the Saints really want somebody, they're going to move heaven and earth. Cap be damned, draft value be damned.
Yep.
And I could see them coming up off of a second round pick in order to draft what they hope will be the quarterback of their future. That is the only scenario I feel like the Ravens can recoup a second round pick and keep their first. That's just my opinion, but I just don't see a team, unless it's to move for a quarterback, I don't see them parting with a second round pick. Just for a running back or a cornerback, or, you know what I'm saying? It has to be a high value premium position, that quarterback.
Yeah. I'm trying to find who else has two second round picks. There aren't a whole lot of teams, but Chicago has two second round picks and they're 53 and 61. Now those combined are not quite worth what the Ravens pick is worth at 22 by the JJ method. But if you go to other methods, it's actually pretty close. And I don't think the Ravens would make that trade. I don't think the Ravens trade down to get from 22 to get number 53 and number 61. So I guess it's possible they could trade for, 53, 61 and one other that the Bears have. But hard to believe also that the Bears would do that, given the Bears, are fairly short on talent themselves at a lot of different spaces. But and that would be a pick that the Ravens traded to them at number 53, I believe.
Yeah, the Roquan Smith trade, yeah.
All right, so let's see. So we had the same number two guy. We've both gone over him to the degree I think is necessary. How about the number one guy?
All right, my number one guy is Evan Hall. No, I'm just joking. It's Bijan Robinson, and it's a runaway, man. It's the most complete back in the entire class. And I feel like, 10, 15 years ago, it would have been a contention for a number one overall pick. I mean, times change and all that. But to me, he possesses the elusiveness and open field of a Saquon Barkley as far as his ability to, stop on a dime, make sharp cuts and spin moves and all that. But he has the physicality of like a Josh Jacobs or a Najee Harris, the way he can just, stiff arm dudes into the earth's core. And just, the way he's... I don't know. I love his all around game, man. I just feel like he's the only guy that's like a first round pick. It's sad that he probably won't go into like the 20s. I could definitely see him, sneaking into the top 20 maybe. I've even seen him as high as projected to go at number 10 overall to the Eagles, but I'm like, nah. If the Eagles are gonna use a first round pick and a running back, it's gonna
they'll
be
trade
their,
back to, yeah, to do that. Yeah.
They don't even they'll just take either whoever's left at 30, either Gibbs or Robinson, they'll just do that. Or if they really like Robinson, I can see them trading up a couple spots to take him if he falls into like the early to mid 20s. But but Bijan Robinson, man, he's like the far and away the best back in this class. He'd probably be the second or third best receiver on most teams. That's how good his pass catching ability is. His ability to make contested catches, make great adjustments to the ball. Real nice, soft, natural hands. Great speed, great power, contact balance out of this world. He's just a complete package, man.
Loved him as a receiver. In particular, he's had 60 receptions in his college career with 8 touchdowns, 10.4 yards per target, 10.4 for a running back. It's unbelievable. I think he was like 16 yards per reception this last year. So you got to keep these various statistics straight. But 10.4 yards per target, like I mentioned, would be the second highest in Ravens history if we were able to do that. And he's the only other guy other than Deuce Vaughn who was at over 3. He was 3.0 exactly, ADOT. In the whole running back class, led the country in missed tackles forced rate at 0.40 per attempt, and his Yakko per attempt was 4.2. Corroborates that very well. In fact, he's making good use of those missed tackles. Does have 6 career fumbles, little bit of a problem. Well, especially he's only had 599 college touches. It's moderate tread wear, so that part of it is very nice. He's turned 21 now in January, but he's certainly not one of the older guys in this group. So there's a lot of things to like about that. Stylistically, he looks like an extremely patient runner behind the line of scrimmage. Le'Veon Bell, think about his years with the Steelers and how he kind of filtered around waiting to see the hole, and then it developed and he's gone very quickly. Might also remind Ravens fans of Ed Reed running back an interception. There's a lot of third gear, getting the offense set up for the return. Think about that Miami return in the playoff game in 2008. And he just took forever to let the thing set up as he's running across the field. Then he ran back and he's in a heartbeat as the defense makes block after block to knock over the pins. But Bijan is clearly the number one back. He's the only guy I really see going in the first round. I don't see anybody else. And it wouldn't even shock me if he did not go in round one. I think there's a probably 30% chance plus that he ends up going in round two. Would be fairly early, I would guess, if he does.
Yeah, it'd be within like top five picks, if not even in that first pick in the like what that no, it wouldn't be the first pick because the Steelers have the first pick and they have Najee Harris. So it would be
But they probably, could trade it. Because that pick often gets traded. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So it's essentially a first round pick because there's only 31 selections. It's basically a first round pick without the fifth year option.
Yeah. There you go. That'd be the big difference. All right. Outstanding. So good to get the same two guys at the top and have some differences all the way down. So I really like Kendre Miller. You like Tyjae Spears. How about other honorable mentions? Any that you have on your list that we haven't mentioned so far?
Let me see.
I've got two.
Again, Abraham. So I have two also, and one I joked about. Evan Hall from Northwestern. He's a real high effort guy. I don't know if you watched any of the combine. He was the kind of guy that was like finishing every drill in the end zone. Like some guys would kind of loaf off to the side. This dude was sprinting full speed to the end zone for every drill, every on the field drill. So I feel like that. You know, some people see that as corny, but other teams see that as, okay, this is a guy who's going to legit do what we coach him to do and finish the drill all the way through.
Yep.
Anytime you watch a practice or whether it's at the stadium or at the facility, even at a high school practice, the coaches will always tell the guys finish through because you want the players to get in that mindset of finishing every play until you hear a whistle until you reach the end zone because you never know when a ref is going to blow the play dead or whatever. But he's a guy that like I said, a high effort guy. He probably earned his snaps on offense via special teams as far as covering kicks and other things like that. Excels as a pass catcher out of the backfield, runs nice routes, catches the ball real well. Decent speed, and went for 4.47 at the combine, so that's pretty nice. Nice compact frame, but lacks lower body strength as far as dragging defenders. You'll usually sometimes go down after the first guy wraps his legs up, he could be a little indecisive at times as far as he's not gonna one of the guys that's gonna make you miss in a phone booth. But he has good feet at times and can have some decisive cuts. But he can also be very indecisive. A Senior Bowl guy, Ravens love Senior Bowl guys. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy that was at that during that All-Star process that the Ravens might keep an eye on.
Also on my list at number 12, as an honorable mention, I'll just mention a couple of things. Obviously, he earned his money at the combine. He made a lot more money by attending there. 6'93" cone. We talked about this a little bit on the corner show, but corners in particular, but now it's really spreading to more positions than that, are avoiding the three cone like the plague. None of them will basically do it. They want to see, just watch the tape. I'm not doing a freaking three cone. I can only lose money on that. I'm here at the combine. That means I'm one of the top corners in the class. If I run a 7'10" three cone and, we've got this edge rusher running 669 or 667, whatever it was last year, the Hutchinson for the Lions, it makes a corner look bad. So corners just avoid that drill like the plague right now. But Evan Hall is 6'90" three cone, which was nice. He's an older guy. So that was one of the reasons I didn't have him as high. I guess we had him similarly high because we both got him on the honorable mention list, but he'll be 23 in October. Needs to be a better pass blocker, but other than that, I was fairly positive on his play, generally speaking. So I'll mention one, and then you get another chance here. So we mentioned Evan Hall was on both our lists. Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina, I really like. I don't know if you took a look at him, but he's a really interesting guy. Went to East Carolina, 5'8", 179. So he's my version of Ibrahim that you like. He's a young guy, though. He's 21 and a half, born 172. Outstanding jumps, 4.37 speed. And here's the kicker. He's the son of Anthony Mitchell, the Ravens legend who returned the kick six against the Titans in the 2000 playoff game. So the biggest play in Ravens history prior to the Mile High Miracle. And Keaton Mitchell is an unbelievable athlete. I think He's got really good wiggle, and he appears to be, and I wouldn't put anybody in Lamar's class or Sayers or Sanders or those guys, but he appears to be a very good leverage reader. So guys who combine those two skills and can get into level two and level three, very exciting runners. So I like them a lot, kind of patient behind the line of scrimmage, a lot like we just mentioned with Bijan Robinson. So I like them. Probably gets drafted by somebody round five, round six, and I'd expect him to be a kick returner as well. He never returned a punt at ECU. We talked about that oftentimes teams in college in particular don't want their bell cow back returning punts. But I think that's something he could definitely do at the NFL level. So interesting player. I really liked him.
Yeah, yeah. Ran a 4.37 at the combine, 10-yard split of 1.48. So that's a guy who can get upfield in a hurry. And he's like he's a guy I watched too, and I liked him. He was on one of my honorable mentions list as well. So he's definitely a guy that the Ravens will be monitoring on day three. Day three is when they're going to take a running back. Anybody who thinks they're going to take a running back before day three is out of their mind.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. How about anybody else on your honorable mention list, or does that do it pretty much for you?
I have Zach Evans from Ole Miss. He's a guy a lot of people are high on, and I understand. You know, he averaged almost 7 yards a carry throughout his college career. It's just injuries have kind of hampered him. Ideal size and frame, only 21 years old. Like I said, he never even eclipsed 1,000 yards rushing. He got close this past year, 936 at Ole Miss. But he's a guy that, you know, is a huge home run threat and good size.
He's on my not quite honorable mention list, but it doesn't mean I hated him or anything. He's just one of the backs I looked at, and I said no one with Deuce Vaughn, and the other guy was Rashawn Johnson that I looked at that I didn't think was quite worthy. Eric Gray is a no for me. Anybody else you want to talk about before we?
Yeah, Gray didn't make any of my list, and neither did Bijan's backup there in Texas either.
All right, outstanding. Josh, always a pleasure to talk football with you. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Yeah, you can find me online at Josh Reed 907 on Twitter, and you can find all my Ravens stuff on heavyonravens.com.
All right, outstanding. Josh, thanks for taking the time in the middle of the night like this. Really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.